You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Welcome into the It's Utah's World podcast. Tom Hackett, Steve Butter, we're back with you guys. Sorry about last week. It was a bit chaotic. I was down south in Hurricane Utah. Steve was busy up north. And we could never get on the same page. But we're here this week. We apologize for last week. We will try and not let that happen again. But nonetheless, Nate Wade Subaru still around. They stuck with us despite the chaos. And they're a proud sponsor of this podcast. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. If you're in the market for a new car or you drive a current Subaru, call them. They may buy your current Subaru and get you into a new one for as much money as you are paying right now, or sometimes even less, believe it or not. It's 1207 South Main Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, just a few blocks from downtown. They're the oldest Subaru dealership in North America. To add to it, at sbartle247 is where you can find steveutone.com, is where his work is also found. I'm at tomcontacted or carouselsports.com. Steve, you have a puppy.
I do. I have a puppy. And his name is Huntley. So we did the whole Utah football. We've got like the Utah, you know, dog tag. So I'm podcasting and puppy watching right now. So if I get distracted, you know why. It's Huntley over here. So just FYI, Tom.
Is Huntley's first name or last name?
It's first name. It's first name.
Okay.
Yeah,
Last name Tyler.
No, last name is our name, right? That's how you do it, right? So Huntley Bartle, that's it, right? Like that's how.
Yeah.
But it's just Huntley. Like the Huntley Bartle thing, it doesn't flow. Bartle is such a hard word, I don't know. It's just not pretty. It's not easy, you know, not easy off the tongue.
Yeah, for dogs especially, Bartle's probably not the easiest thing to say. But well, that's cool. Congratulations, the first child of course yours and the lovely Kendra's. So congratulations.
Thank you.
It will set you up perfectly for when you have a human child, I think.
I that's years away, but yes, hopefully, you know, the first couple of weeks potty training, this guy will have us prepared for, you know, God knows what.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. So we do have a few things to talk about. It's worth noting, like this time of year, it is slower than normal, and that's okay. You know, it can't be crazy all the time. But this is, you know, this is really when it's probably at its slowest right about now and entering into summer, because of course come fall the season begins, and at the start of the year you look forward to spring ball. Now spring ball's done, and during spring ball of course there's plenty to talk about, but then spring ball concludes as it has now in 2021, and then there's an extended break as summer and conditioning, and you know, maybe there's a few, hopefully the biggest news this summer, Steve, is going to be the, and maybe we can start the podcast here, but the wide receivers, I think when you look at the roster right now, and you've spoken about this over the last couple of episodes, but one or two more wide receivers would probably be the position group that you'd like to see most of the attention fall to during the summer. And so maybe the biggest news could potentially be a receiver transfer. Have you, Steve, got anybody in mind that's in the portal at the minute, or where are you at when it comes to who Utah could bring in at wide receiver?
Yeah, you know, this is going to be an interesting off season. Whittingham is, you know, he's talked about it pretty publicly that they want to, you know, bolster the wide receiver room. I think they feel comfortable with the guys like the slot receivers, the smaller, speedier quicker receivers. You know, you saw it in the spring game. They've got a handful of them, right? You know, you've got Covey, you've got Dixon, but then you've got Money Parks, you've got Kane Savage, you've got who am I blank? There's a couple others.
Valet.
Devon Valet is a bigger guy, and we'll talk about him because his emergence was super important. But Utah's just got a lot of smaller receivers, and I think they want to add a dynamic athlete, a Brian Thompson type, like obviously that can play outside and inside, that's got the athleticism to be a threat anywhere on the field. They want that kind of guy, good athleticism, good size. I think that's the type of receiver that would help Utah the most. And so, you know, at Ute Zone, this is the type of stuff that we talk about with everything else going on. We've kind of put it on the back burner just because we've known it's going to come. Like eventually we're going to see, a commitment, maybe two commitments, whatever. The receiver position is going to get some help this summer. And so at Ute Zone, we published a piece about a week ago now. And you know, there's a couple guys to keep in mind and to keep your eye on if you like to follow this kind of stuff. And just to throw a couple names out there, you've got a guy like Tommy Bush, who is, you know, he plays at Georgia. He's 6'5", 195 pounds. This was a kid that was recruited in the same class, the 2018 class. So that was the year that Jack Tuttle was in Utah's class. Solomon Enos was in the class. So that's when he was a recruit, was 2018. And he's, you know, he's just been stuck. He's had some injuries at Georgia that has kind of limited his impact, limited his ability to see the field and that kind of stuff. And so he's entered the portal and looking for a place where he can make an impact. And Utah recruited him during that 2018 cycle, and you know they've got a relationship with him. And so that's a guy to keep an eye on. You've got another guy in Theo Howard, who you know that should be a familiar name for those that you know have followed Utah football over the last few years. He was at UCLA for, I think, three seasons and then transferred to Oklahoma last year, suffered an injury, was kind of limited. Actually, I think he transferred to Oklahoma 2 years ago, suffered an injury, and just wasn't able to get going. He's in the portal again, and I think he's somebody to definitely keep your eye on. And then, you know, there are a couple others. And the nice thing about – shouldn't say the nice thing. The thing that we know about the transfer portal is that more and more guys are going to enter it, you know, in the days and weeks and months to come, especially as spring camps wrap up and guys kind of figure out their standing on certain teams and that kind of thing. So, but those are two names just to kind of throw out there. Both would be welcomed additions to the wide receiver room. And I think would help Utah in a big way. They would provide, you know, some athleticism, some playmaking ability, some potential. And obviously, you know, in Tommy Bush's case, there are some concerns with his injury history and just his inability to see the field and produce. So you would be kind of taking a leap of faith with a player like Tommy Bush. But I think he's the type of talent that has kind of eluded Utah at the receiver position. And so that's the type of talent that you can bring in through the transfer portal as a highly talented kid coming out of high school, kind of gets buried, has a chip on his shoulder, looking for a second chance, comes to Utah and can kind of break out. So I think another position that, you know, we're going to have to follow closely is going to be the safety position. Whittingham talked about this. I think he addressed it even with Bill Riley on the Bill Riley show. But RJ Hubert suffered a pretty significant injury It sounds like his season may be in question, maybe in doubt even. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see Utah search the portal for help at safety. They've got some young talent, you know, at the safety position, but I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, to bring in a guy that has some experience, has some years under his belt at the college level to come in and kind of help that safety position, because Utah has basically everything else you need and on this team, and just to kind of shore up the defense and shore up that safety depth. I think looking for a safety would make a lot of sense for Utah as well.
Yeah, well, it'll be fascinating and fun to kind of follow across the summer as the news surrounding Utah football kind of dwindles. But that sort of stuff could certainly help content for the fans. You know, you keep them alive, if you will, throughout those golfing seasons. But it's something to keep an eye on. I as you were talking, I was kind of thinking a few things here. Wide receivers. You know, even if Utah does bring in, say, a Theo Howard or a Bush from Georgia, you know, a taller guy to play on the outside, I still think going into the year, Solomon Enos and the pressure and the expectation on him is as high as it's ever been. And Utah fans that are either for or against Solomon Enos will learn very quickly what this young man's all about. He is a highly talented player out of Arizona. He had some pretty big offers, Penn State being one of them. He was a top five recruit out of the state of Arizona, if my memory serves me correctly. My point is, he hasn't done a ton yet at Utah. He's been behind the likes of Brian Thompson. He's always struggled when it comes to trying to find targets. And look, it's not easy. Brant Keithy, Britton Covey, Brian Thompson when he was around. Jalen Dixon when he's healthy, you know, there's a number of other players out there that need the football just as much as he. But he's going to enter this year, even if they bring in somebody, in my opinion anyway, is kind of the guy that Utah looks for on the outside. And then the other thing I was thinking about as you were talking, Steve, that I think is interesting is, and I think fans need to kind of put more thought towards this, is 99% of people that are in the transfer portal are in the transfer portal for some reason. One reason or another.
Right.
Generally speaking, that reason isn't positive news, right? Whether it be injuries, sure. Maybe they've fallen out of luck with the coaching staff. Maybe their form over the last couple of years has dwindled in the case of Charlie Brewer. And they just feel like for them personally, they need a new start to try and rekindle and reinvigorate themselves as a player. So, yeah, I think it's worth noting that, and this goes for any position, for basketball as well now, no matter how big a name somebody may be, like there's generally a reason he's in the transfer portal, right. and the reason is generally not a great reason. So I'm sure there's outliers out there that are just, despite happiness and trust with coaching staff and positive play, they feel like for whatever reason they need to move. Maybe it's family, being close to the family, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, the transfer portal is always going to have risk associated with it, in my opinion.
That's a great point, Tom. Like I think it's something where, you know, for those that like to follow recruiting, you kind of get caught up in not necessarily the star ranking, but you know, 24/7 sports, we have the composite rating, and I think a lot of people kind of get caught up in that and focusing too much on that and kind of projecting what that player's impact would be, you know, when looking at guys in the transfer portal. That's a great point to bring up, that there are reasons why guys enter the portal, and you know, sometimes it's just they didn't emerge, they didn't have a, you know, not necessarily that they didn't have an opportunity, but they didn't take advantage of an opportunity, they didn't move up the depth chart. There were, you know, it's important to ask why guys were in the portal. I think it's something that definitely needs to be factored in when discussing that guys in the transfer portal. And I think Utah, both in kind of what I'm learning as I dive more into the basketball program with Craig Smith, you know, Utah does their homework. The football program does their homework. They you know, like to talk to a lot of people associated with a certain kid, kind of get a feel for what he's like on and off the field. So they try to limit as much uncertainty as possible. They try to get as much information on each of these guys, basically doing like a background check on these guys just to get a feel for what they're like, just because, you know, they're, like you said, there are reasons why guys enter the portal. And, you know, it's not just because, you know, they want to enjoy another five official visits as a recruit again. You know, typically they're leaving for a reason and looking for a fresh start for a reason. So that's a great point, Tom.
Yeah, no, thanks, Steve. I mean, the game of football or sport in general, you know, we'll take football, for example. The NFL draft is coming up, right? Maybe listeners of this podcast, maybe the NFL draft's already done by the time you tune into this. But we're recording this on Wednesday, April 28th, the day before the NFL draft is scheduled to take flight. And I've been listening to radio anytime I drive to kind of see if I can hear anything about Zach Wilson, because I'm fascinated to kind of see what happens with him. And by all reports, it sounds like he's kind of locked in to go number two to the New York Jets. And of course, that comes with a number of expectation and responsibility. And we can kind of dive into that maybe in a few minutes. But I was listening to the radio, and I think it was Dan Patrick was saying, or he was interviewing somebody that's obviously been following the NFL and the draft for decades now. But 50% of first round picks aren't going to live up to expectation in the NFL. And that's kind of, it happens every year. 50% of first round picks will never live up to the expectation in the NFL. And it's mind blowing that even at that high level, when nowadays they have the ability to study every single snap from college. And generally speaking, because in football, you have to play, I think, 3 years of college. I mean, that's a lot of tape that these NFL scouts, general managers, and executives can study, dissect, and try and figure out if you can make it or not in the NFL. Even then, they still get it wrong. And you think football, Utah football coaches speak to a lot of people as it relates to recruiting high school athletes?
Oh, yeah.
You should see what the NFL scouts do. I mean, it's their day job. They do it every single day, all day. They bounce from city to city, team to team, depending on what's in their region, and speak to as many people as they can about players that they're interested in to try and learn more. And even then, with millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line, I mean, signing bonus for Zach Wilson will be anywhere from $27 to $29 million. Even when there's that much money on the line, they still get it wrong. The game, the sport, or sport in general, forget about just football, sport in general, it essentially comes down to trying to juggle an expectation versus an actual reality and what players can live up to that and what can't. And I mean, look, there's so much that goes into all of it that we don't have enough time to talk about it, and we'd need professionals and psychologists. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But at the end of the day, you're trying to find players that can handle pressure, because especially even at the college level, forget about the NFL, but even at the college level, generally speaking, and this was my experience at Utah State, generally speaking, the talent gap between the best player on the team and somebody that's struggling to find snaps at the two or three deep, like the talent gap between the two isn't that much. I mean, sure, maybe Brian Thompson's better than a second, third string wide receiver or whatever. But Brian Thompson, the Britton Coveys, the Jalen Dixons, the Brant Keithys, the, you know, hopefully Charlie Brewers, those are the guys that mentally are far more advanced than somebody that's two or three on the depth chart. And they're the ones that can paddle, that can comprehend and understand and essentially defeat the expectation that people like you and I and the fan base has put on them.
Yeah. You know, I 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. It was before the 2019 season. I did a class with the Scouting Academy is what it's called. And what it is it's these former scouts that worked in the NFL have put together this program. It's a 3 month program. It was 3 months where you basically learn the ins and outs of scouting, evaluation, the process of scouting and just how thorough it is. And my goodness, man, it's crazy the amount of detail that goes into evaluations. Like when I watch game, like film and stuff, like I replay a play 4 or 5 times, just rewinding it back and forth, right? And watching whether it be a certain player, the defense, the offensive line. I'm watching a play 4, 5, 6, 7 times, just going back and forth, right? And I'm looking for very specific things when I'm watching film. And that's like, I'm an amateur, bro. Like, I'm not like these paid professionals, dudes that are paid, you know, 6 figures to travel the country and evaluate talent in person on film to gather as much intel as they possibly can on these guys. Like, the NFL is incredibly dependent on as much information as possible for the draft process. They are gathering information 365 days of the year. It is absurd the amount of intel that they collect on players, on prospects, that goes into the draft, that goes into these draft selections, right? And, you know, every little thing matters. What the biggest thing that I learned was just how valuable context is, and understanding, you know, what's going into the game, what happened prior to the game for a certain player. Was the player sick during the week? How many hours of practice did he get? Did he have an injury? Did all of these things matter? All of, you know, these things that you just don't take into account. Every little bit matters as these teams evaluate, because, you know, they're all arrogant. They all think that they're making the best decision that they possibly can. Right. They're prideful. They're arrogant. And, you know, really, that's what leads to a lot of these mistakes is that pride, that arrogance, because, you know, they feel they can make something work that maybe isn't there. And so I don't know where I'm going with that, but just talking about the draft evaluation process and all of that. Like, it is extremely detailed how much they go into it with players.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, they're looking at things that, you know, most of us wouldn't even think about.
Bro.
You know, I mean, they're looking at just demeanor and where head positioning, is he slouching? I mean, like, you know, you name it, they're pinpointing everything. I actually, Steve, to be honest, I actually think we're at a point now with how accessible information is. Today, I think we're at a point where there's too much information out there. Yeah. It's almost blurring. You know, for example, like Russell Wilson went in the third round of the I can't even remember, but whatever draft. You know, he was a third round pick. Russell Wilson was. NFL teams wouldn't touch Russell Wilson because he was like 5'8", 5'9".
Right.
You know, if you were under 6 foot, you weren't a top one or two draft pick.
Right.
Russell Wilson's a future Hall of Famer. He's somebody that's revolutionized the game. He's the reason Kyler Murray went number one overall a couple years ago. Kyler Murray, prior to Wilson doing anything in the NFL, was probably a third round pick, much like Russell Wilson was. But because Russell Wilson's proven that you don't actually have to be 6'2", 210 to be a successful quarterback at the National Football League, you can play effectively, smart, and stay relatively healthy at 5'8", 5'9". I mean, it's just, I think we're at a point now where NFL teams and scouts, they have access to too much information that they start second guessing themselves and they don't quite know now where to go. I mean, think about it, like Justin Fields, for example, and this can lead
perfect
us into
example.
The next
perfect
conversation. Justin Fields is a player that went to the Ohio State University, and Utah fans are going to get upset at me for saying the, but nonetheless, he played in multiple playoff games. He played in some of the biggest games you can play in as a college player. He was incredibly successful. He had good years. He never had bad years. He had some great years. I mean, he played a lot of games for Ohio State. And he's not going to get picked up before Zach Wilson, who, by the way, I'm a fan of Zach, and I want everybody out there to know right. that he's a local kid. I'm always going to cheer for the local guy. And I'm ecstatic for him and his right. family that he's under the. But there were question marks as to whether or not he was going to start at BYU before this past season.
Right.
He was in a battle to win the starting quarterback job less than 6 months ago. I mean, and he's going to go as the number two overall pick because he went 11-1 against really bad opposition. Let's
really
be fair,
bad.
In comparison yeah. to Justin Fields, like this is the sort of stuff that it's so crazy and fascinating to me.
And I'm right there with you. Like as you were talking about it, that was the exact person that I thought of as you were kind of just explaining how guys are starting to overthink it, how teams are starting to overthink it. Justin Fields has produced. Has won everywhere he's been, and he's done it against some great competition. Like, yes, he's got a lot of talent around him, but he's facing an equal amount of talent on the other side of the ball, right? And you know, we can't, you know, we like there's we talk about the talent gap between Utah and BYU, but in all fairness, there's a bigger talent gap between BYU and Northern Alabama. Like it's just you have to take everything into context and Zach Wilson deserves a lot of credit for taking advantage of you know of what was given to him this season. You know, he simply just went out and played ball as at a high level against, you know, some competition that was questionable. And if the New York Jets value what they see on film more so than, you know, what they see on film with Justin Fields or Trey Lance, and, you know, go ahead, New York Jets. There's a reason you continue to pick at the top of the draft each and every year. so, you know, go ahead, do you, New York, but Zach Wilson deserves a ton of credit because he's made himself a multimillionaire, and the local kids, you know, they deserve a ton of credit for getting to that level. Zach Wilson worked hard, and you know, there were questions about his game, about, you know, his status as the starter. But, you know, he went out, he balled out, and, you know, he put himself in this position. It's not his fault. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, blame him or say he lucked out, because he didn't, because he put in the work. It's just, if it were me, I would be going elsewhere with my draft pick. I still think that Zach Wilson is a fabulous talent. I just have some questions, and it all comes back to the competition that he faced and all of that. So, but he's got some unreal talent. You know, I hope that it works out. The New York Jets have not been great over the last few years, and, you know, I'm kind of nervous for him in that regard. But, you know, we'll see.
Sorry, Steve. I'm gonna be blunt here. So I just got a phone call. I put myself on mute. I didn't hear a word you just said.
Okay. No, I was worried. I was like, what just happened? Did we just lose our recording? Okay. No, it's you didn't miss anything. I just went on a little rant about Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. No, it was nothing.
I like that. I got a phone call from Guy Holiday.
Oh.
So normally, like, if you're on a podcast, and you know this, Steve, like, your phone's next to you because, you know, as journalists, as members of the media, like, it's paramount that you have access to your
right.
phone. So your phone's always on you or next to you. And so I'm sitting here and you're speaking, and I'm getting this phone call from Guy Holliday, and I'm like, I probably shouldn't send him the voicemail. I should probably answer it. So I did. And it was lovely to hear his voice, because obviously it's been some right. time. I'm hopeful to get him on the golf show this
Ooh,
week.
There you go.
Yeah, so I've been speaking to Guy, and we may get him on the golf show. Obviously, he was down at BYU, and that's kind of the reason why I wanted to get him on. And of course, he's had experiences at Utah. You know why the golf show is so good? It's because, and you know this, and we'll have you on again, Steve, whenever
yes.
you can make it.
But yes.
We only play it. We only play a hole or two, right? We only play a hole or two, and then the 16, 17 other holes, we can talk about whatever. There are no
right.
That's the best part of the golf show, because when you have people on, like, I guarantee you, if I get Guy Holliday on the show, I guarantee by the end of the round, I'll know every bit of dirt that happened at Utah football, and I may not be able to say any of it, but I'll stay credible, Steve. I don't give a rat if the fans out there disagree with my takes. I know more than you. I may not know more than Steve, but I know more than bloody Ball Man in West Valley.
Goodness.
Because of the 16 holes I spent with Guy Holliday when he was ripping the janitor at Utah football because they claimed he did, you know, whatever the case may be.
That'll be fun, anyway,
that'd
man.
Be fun.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yes. It'll be fun. It'll be a ton of fun. So I apologize for not hearing your rant about. Here, okay, let's get back on track. So really quickly, really bluntly, in your opinion, does Zach Wilson live up to the expectation, assuming he goes number two to the New York Jets?
Ooh, man. And I feel bad because it's so dependent on where you go, I think. Unless you're a talent like Trevor Lawrence, where you just can overcome because you're an incredible talent, you know, a generational
the
type
Jags,
talent.
The Jags are still going to be okay offensively, I think. The Jags still have some weapons to play with. The Jets? Well, let me tell you about the Jets. Well, actually, I don't need to tell you much.
Yeah. You spent some time there. I forgot about that. But yeah, you spent some time there.
I think the last two plays out of the state of Utah to be on the roster of the New York Jets was myself and Zach Wilson, Steve.
Dude, so it's,
Zach, if you're listening, call me. I'll tell you all about my 24-hour pit stop in Jersey.
You know, it'll be interesting, and I hope Robert Saleh is the head coach that many think he can be. I think that is going to be a huge determining factor in Zach Wilson's success, because the track record has been, you know, if you go to New York, you play for the Jets, it's going to be rough. It's going to be very difficult, because, I mean, look, recent history shows us, like, Sam Darnold, you know, you go back, what, 4 years now? Like, he was, you know, he was Zach Wilson. He was the guy.
Sure. He threw a lot of picks at USC.
Sure. Especially that final year, he didn't improve from the previous year where he led USC to a Rose Bowl victory over Penn State. Didn't improve on you know, I get that. So maybe not the exact same, but still similar talent, you know. So and it did not go well. Did not go well for old Sam. And, you know, that's difficult. So I don't want to say, like, Zach isn't going to live up to expectations, because I think everybody has the expectation that if you go to New York, you're just going to fail. Like, trust me, I will pull for Zach Wilson to have success at New York. I do not want him to be another in a long line of failures, because that's never fun. You don't want to be that guy. But man, I don't know. he's got history stacked up against him, and that's going to be tough. But I hope that Robert Saleh puts together a nice offense around him, and they can just let him be him.
There's a couple teams in the NFL you don't want to get drafted to. The Jets obviously being one. I'd say the Browns kind of maybe last year and the year before they've looked like they're better, but prior to that it was 20-odd years where they stunk it up. So sure, throw the Browns in there. I'd throw the Lions. Detroit Lions haven't done really anything. Even back when they had Barry Sanders and Scotty Mitchell, who's now with me over at KSL, you know, even then they struggled a bit. They made playoffs, but they never really. Anyway, so the Lions I'd throw in there. Who else would you throw in there, Steve, that you probably don't want to get drafted by?
I would have said Miami, but
that coach.
I do too. And I think they've got a good plan. I think they're kind of turning that thing around. Miami should be in that group, but we'll keep them out of it.
You would throw Houston in there before Deshaun Watson arrived. I'd say Houston's never won a Super Bowl, although they haven't been around for that long.
They're kind of in a mess right now. Anyways, yeah. I don't know that I would want to be drafted there.
What do we know what the latest is with Deshaun? The count was up to like last I looked, and this was a few weeks ago, it was like 18. And so I don't know I haven't heard anything lately, but I imagine it's not looking good for Mr. Watson.
Yeah. So that's kind of a situation you want to avoid. Oakland or Las Vegas now. Las Vegas is, you know, John Gruden is there, and that's great. Mike Mayock is great. But the Davis family, like, I don't know. They don't have a great track record with the draft. The Bengals, you know, the book's still out on them.
I knew I was thinking someone. The Bengals, man. Cincinnati. Joe Burrow. Is he the second? So, look, there are a number of NFL teams that have billionaire owners that pay millions and millions and millions of dollars every single year with the hopes of winning the Lombardi Trophy that are so far from that, it's not even funny. And that isn't just the NFL. I mean, that's in every league. Every league that's professional, that has decent coin backing behind it, there are always going to be teams that suck historically, that just for whatever reason can't not suck. And it's crazy to me that they throw all of these these resources into trying to create a winnable system and product, and they just can't do it. To answer the Zach Wilson question, if I was a betting man, I would not be betting that he lives up to expectation. Not because I don't think he's good. I think he's really good. I just the New York Jets, dude. How can you bet that he's gonna turn an entire franchise around? It's just, you know, like the odds of that happening, it's so hard for him to be able to accomplish that. So, but I really hope, because I think he's got a ton of talent. I think he's got maybe more throwing ability than anybody in the draft. But there's always a but. There's either always an and or a but. And the but in this case is he really hasn't played a ton of games where the stakes are really high. Yeah, he hasn't had much playoff experience. He hasn't had any playoff experience. And the best bowl game he's played is, I wouldn't even be able to tell you. Maybe the Miami Bowl back in the day. I don't know if he was there then, but he played really well in that Boise Bowl, the Potato Bowl, but that was against Western Michigan. So, I mean,
right.
You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
So if the Jets make the playoffs, and he's in a wild card game, or if he's fighting at the end of the season to get the Jets into a wild card game, nobody really knows how he's going to perform because he's
right.
Nobody's seen how. And so it'll be fascinating, man. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, this is what's really cool, and this is what I wanted to bring up before we get out of here, Steve. Is it last year that what's his face from Utah State, Love, got drafted in the first round, or was that 2 years ago?
It was last year. Yep.
Josh, that was last year. Okay, so there you go. So that was a first round draft pick quarterback out of the state of Utah. This year, you'll obviously have Zach Wilson. That's two kids out of the state of Utah at the quarterback position that'll be first round picks. That, I bet, has never happened before. And that's really worth talking about. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up was Penei Sewell. I mean, he's a top 10 draft pick. He may go three or four. You know, he could go high. And of course, he's out of St. George, Utah, the Sewell family, his brother's playing for Utah at the minute. His other brother's playing at Oregon. I mean, they're all over the West Coast at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just say he goes inside the top five, or even if he goes inside the top 10, I guess it doesn't matter, but that's two guys, you know, two out of 10 prospects going in the top 10 of the 2021 NFL draft. I think that right there is worth a headline and worth something to be proud of. If you're from the state of Utah, it shows that football within this state, you know, was a laughing stock not that long ago. And now it's turning around, and with the influx of people from California coming into town and surrounding areas, you know, the state of Utah is in a very healthy position as it relates directly to its high school and college football scene.
Yeah, I agree. The talent has gotten better in the state, and, you know, it's only continuing on that upward trajectory. And I think, you know, you've got J2 Fele from USC, also a product of Utah, that's going to have an opportunity to hear his name called. You know, you've got a lot of local talent. And the great thing is that more and more kids are getting opportunities, not just at the highest level, right? Like, we all want to see these kids at Utah and to see these kids have success. But a lot of these kids are just simply getting opportunities because the reputation of, you know, Utah high school football is growing and improving. And, you know, there's a lot of great, great avenues to kind of get yourself, you know, if you've got a kid that, you know, you feel is pretty talented, and just needs some exposure, needs some work, some training, you know, Utah is starting to, you know, get the means, get the the resources where, you know, you can accomplish those tasks. If you want to have if you've got a kid, you want him competing in these 7-on-7 tournaments, there are teams available for you to join, and you can go out and you can compete against the teams from California and Texas and, you know, all of these other states. And the great thing is that it's just helping Utah's reputation, helping improve the talent, and it's gotten better. The elite talent has gotten better, but just the talent in general within the state has improved quite a bit. And it's exciting to think of what will come, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years and the type of prospects that we'll see over the next little while, because, you know, Utah has traditionally been, you know, a lineman heavy producer, you know, but now you're starting to see some athletes. Now you're starting to see some dudes. You know, talking about Noah Sewell, the linebacker up at Oregon. Now you've got a kid like Lander Barton, who's a linebacker, defensive end, tight end for Brighton in this upcoming cycle. You've got other kids, Luke Hyde, Jackson Dart. You've got other kids that, you know, are starting to play more of these skill positions where, you know, that the talent is starting to rise, and it's exciting to think of what will come, you know, as we get further and further down the road. Definitely the talent is getting better each and every year.
Yeah. I just remember moving out here in 2012 and talking to a bunch of people about the product at the high school level, and not a ton of people, to be fair, even from Utah, had that great of things to say about high school football, especially as it compared to California, Texas, Florida. But now it's like, you know, we're not quite there yet. I don't know if we ever will be, just because population and whatnot. But boy, there are kids coming out of Utah now that are getting annual offers from Oregon and USC and Texas and Fillinger, for example. So anyway, it's cool to see. I'm rapt to kind of be in the middle of it, and I'm sure you are as well. Steve, last but not least, I know we fixated a lot of today on kind of scouting in the NFL and how it's almost impossible nowadays to be able to figure out whether or not a player will turn out as well as you'd think or not. And of course, Zach Wilson and a few of the other guys, Utah could have had a few draft picks if a few of their kids decided to opt out and forgo their senior year and draft the linebacker, for example, was certainly probably one of them. I'm brain farting on his name, but spring's over, so I guess it doesn't matter anymore. But who's number zero? What's his name? Oh my gosh,
Kevin Lloyd.
Thank you. Gosh. I go to St. George for a week. I come back. I forget everybody's name. Devin Lloyd. He would probably go the highest. Will Utah have any pick this year? I haven't heard much. Yeah. I don't really see. Who do you reckon? Who do you reckon may go for Utah, if anybody at all, Steve?
Yeah, you know, for us Utah guys, like, it sucks this draft because Utah won't have any draft eligible players, you know, this year, but they definitely would have had a couple guys, hear their names called, this weekend in the draft. Devin Lloyd, Brent Keithy, Nick Ford. These are, you know, three guys that
I got to call a timeout.
Timeout?
Yeah, Steve, I got to intrude for a second. Did Nick Ford really receive a second or third round grade?
Third or fourth with the chance to improve to a second or third.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Did Nick Ford really get a third or fourth round grade?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, bro. Yeah. Bro.
Dude, good for him.
Yeah.
Why? Like, and I'm not trying to hate. Because I again, going back to the whole Zach Wilson conversation, any kid out of a local school I'm cheering for. And obviously Nick Ford plays for my alma mater. I want Nick Ford to be a first-round pick. But I'm also a realist. Like, I'm not an offensive lineman guru. Like, I don't study offensive linemen. But he's given up a few sacks in some pretty big games. Like, to me, I don't know. Umana's better than Ford, in my opinion.
Oh boy, I don't know about that. No, like Nick Ford. So draft evaluation is a lot of fun because we're having this debate about, you know, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, who's accomplished more in their career, Justin Fields or Zach Wilson? It's Justin Fields by far. Like, it's no question. What are people basing Zach Wilson's evaluation on? Traits, right? Traits in specific arm throwing. Traits, right?
Yeah.
Like, and with Nick, it's the same thing. So sure, he's allowed a few sacks. A lot of them were just due to mental errors, miscommunications, that kind of thing, which can be coached up and fixed, right? When you're looking at offensive linemen, what does he have that we can't coach? He's an athlete, right? Like, he's pretty nimble for 6'5", 315 pounds. He's pretty nimble. He can get out in space. He can change directions. You know, when you're battling like the Aaron Donald types, you got to be able to move and change directions, right? Yeah. And I think Nick has, you know, he grew up playing wide receiver. He didn't grow into a lineman until his junior, senior year in high school. You know, so he's got some nimble feet where he can he's a pretty good athlete, and so he's got these uncoachable traits, and then you combine that with just his playing demeanor, his playing mentality, where he, you know, he enjoys playing tough, playing nasty, and being physical. Those are things that you can't always coach out of guys, and he's got that. And so, if you're a coach, if you're a talent evaluator, you're thinking, okay, this guy has things that we can't coach. We can coach up his technique. We can coach up his understanding of assignments and understanding of, you know, how to combo block and how to reach and how to do these things the way we want him to. That's kind of the thing here. So yeah, like, I absolutely believe Nick Ford got a third, fourth round grade because of those traits that he has, and his projection getting him under a new coaching staff where he can kind of be coached the way that they want him to play. Yeah, absolutely. Nick Ford could get a third, fourth round grade. Absolutely, Tom. Absolutely.
Oh, I do apologize. I heard that and I was like, third or fourth round. I'm going, goodness gracious. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a bad player. I mean, my word, he plays left tackle, left guard on Utah's starting five. I mean, like, you've got to be pretty good to accomplish just that alone. But third or fourth round, I mean, you're putting yourself in, like, the upper echelon to
– Yeah.
You think about how many offensive linemen there are in the country playing college ball. You think about how good college ball players are to then go third or fourth round. I mean, it just goes to show kind of Garrett Bowles and how impressive he was. I mean, similar to Nick Ford in some way when it comes to athleticism. I'd still say maybe Garrett Bowles is a little bit more athletic than – But nonetheless, you know, Nick Ford, right. He's certainly very athletic for a man of his stature. So maybe it shouldn't surprise me, but at first it shooketh me a little bit.
Sure.
I was like, goodness gracious, that's quite high. Anyway, so next year will be the year, it seems. This year will be quiet.
Yeah.
I didn't even hold a pro day. So that should tell Utah fans kind of where you're at. So enjoy the first round. Enjoy Zach Wilson if you're into that sort of stuff, or hate against him if you're into that too. And hopefully we can all come to terms and agree and enjoy Penei Sewell, because Penei's nice. He's done nothing wrong. Well, he kind of has. I don't know. Maybe
don't
watch the draft then. Yeah, don't watch the draft, I guess. I will be, because I like cheering for local guys. Sorry, I'm not an ass like the rest of you. But anywho, Steve at FBottle247 is his handle on Twitter, youtube.com. You can get a 7-day free trial. If you haven't signed up, check it out. If you like it, great. If you don't, no worries. No charge will be to be added to your account. KSOsports.com is where you can find me at Tom Carton. Hackett is on Twitter. Nate Wade Subaru is our sponsor. Steve, until next week, go Utes, my man, and we'll speak then.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.